to 1 John chapter 4. I want to look at verses 1 through 6 this evening. I don't know how far we'll get, but we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he knoweth God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us as we live in a day and an age where truth doesn't seem to matter. But Father, you are the truth. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word and help us to have discerning spirits. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It seems like this particular portion of Scripture, these six verses, have been taken out of a lot of people's Bibles because they don't seem to have any discernment today. Yet we are called in these verses to have a discerning spirit, and not only to have a discerning spirit, but to test the spirits, and there's to be something that we're to test them against. When we were in my work that I do, oftentimes they run different tests on products. They test the hardness of metals. They test the durability of products. They test the standards on windows and whether they leak water or air. But every time you're testing something, there's a standard that you test it against. There has to be something that you're testing it against. Here, there's something we're testing this against. Every time that there's a belief system that comes to us from the that we hear as we go about our daily lives, there's a standard by which we are to test it against, and that is the truth of God's word, the very character of Christ. He says that you're to test the spirits. Now, one of the things that you look at our culture today, and I don't think there's a lot of people that are testing anything against the standard of God's word. Where do we find the truth where do we learn about the truth of God? We learn it from His Word. And the standard that we have, that we've been given by the Lord, that we are to test things against, is the Word of God, the authority of that Word, the truth of that Word, the veracity of that Word, if you would. And we are to test all that comes against it. We are to test the spirits. Now, one of the things that you see, and we've got in the politics of our country right now, a lot of people don't want to test anything against anything. And simply they say, well, I believe this because I am of this party or of that party. But we're not to be aligning ourselves as Christians with political parties, but rather we're to be testing the truth of what every man is saying in the belief system he's professing and what that belief system is founded on. Now, as we come to verse 1, it says, Beloved, John is teaching this because he cares about people. John has a pastor's heart, and he knows what false teachers and false spirits will do to his flock. Jesus himself warned against apostasy in the last days. Paul and Peter warned about false teachers coming in who would be, as it were, wolves in sheep's clothing, and their full intent was to profess to be one thing, but when really they were another, profess one set of beliefs when really their life, showed another, and their whole purpose was to devour and consume the believer so that they were ineffectual in their belief and, if at all possible, to destroy their faith. As you look at the scriptures, Jesus tells us that Satan comes as an angel of light. I remember Dave Hunt a number of years ago speaking of this, and he said, if people think that Satan's coming, all dressed up the way that Hollywood would have him come, with a red color and horns and a big tail and a pitchfork, no, Satan comes as an angel of light to deceive. He's the great liar, he's the great deceiver, and his whole purpose is to undermine and destroy people's faith. John is saying, beloved, you need to test the spirits so that you will understand what is true and what is not. Now, how do we test the spirits? First of all, he says, believe not every spirit. Simply because somebody uses the name Christian is not, you're not supposed to automatically say they're a Christian, but rather, and we're to examine what their message is. I remember a number of years ago, there was a gentleman who ran for president, and he was teaching a Sunday school class, and he said that he was a Christian. And I remember how that everybody in the church I was attending at the time became so excited because there was a Christian running for president. But then you begin to examine what he believed. And he doesn't love Israel. He doesn't like the Jews. He teaches all kinds of things that are against Israel and against the Jews. He also doesn't hold to biblical principles in many areas of his belief system. And so one can teach a Sunday school class, one can profess a faith in Christ, but if they have a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different message, and they don't love what God loves, are they really a Christian? And is the spirit that is motivating them the spirit of Christ or the spirit of the Antichrist? There's a book that I'm currently reading, and it's called Christ versus the Antichrist. And it was written way back in, I believe, the late 1800s. But you'd think it was a contemporary book for today, as it's talking about the spirit of Antichrist versus the spirit of Christ, and what to examine for the spirit of the Antichrist versus the spirit of Christ. And they're two opposite things. In Christianity today, there's much confusion because people don't know God's spirit and don't know the gospel. There's a current movement in Christianity called Chrislam, and it's trying to combine Christianity and Islam. Now I want to tell you, have they tested the spirit of Islam, and have they tested the spirit of Christianity to see what the true message is of both? If you would line up these two belief systems and look at the Bible and look at the Quran, and then look at what the Bible teaches on salvation, and the Bible teaches on the fact of assurance of salvation, the power of God, and then what the Quran teaches, they're exactly opposite. The Quran, for example, says Allah has no sons, and the Bible says that God has a son, that God took on the form and became a man. The Quran teaches that you can never know if you're going to be going to heaven unless you commit jihad. The Bible says that if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's paid the penalty for your sin. You have assurance of salvation. The Quran says that Jesus is nothing but another prophet, a different Jesus. What does it say here? Test the spirits. So how can people who say that they're educated Christians, and some of them are professors at seminaries, some of them are pastors in churches, some of them have professed to be Christians for many years, and yet they say, we want to have this new religion called Chrislam, combining the two. They don't understand the Bible. They're not testing the spirits, and what spirit is motivating them? Because the Bible tells us, if right here, John tells the people that we're to try the spirits, whether they're of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. John is the first one to use the term Antichrist. And Antichrist manifests him, the spirit of the Antichrist manifests itself in false prophets. We're to examine, Jesus said you're to examine people's fruit that you may know what they believe. He said that you and I can't know a man's heart, but we can see the fruit of his life, and we can see the things that he works out and he professes to believe. If he doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, as he says here, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And when he's talking about Jesus coming in the flesh, he means that he is God come in the flesh, that he is the Son of God that has come in the flesh, that God has manifested himself in the flesh as Jesus, and in fulfillment of the prophets to take on the sins of the world. This is the heart of the gospel, and this is the truth that we find in God's word. Well, what does the world teach? It says that every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Now, I want you to just examine many of the belief systems in our culture today. And are they of Christ or Antichrist? Just some isms that we have. First of all, materialism. Materialism teaches that there is no God, that material existence is what matters, that you have various forms of materialism. You have scientific materialism, where they believe that you have scientists that would say matter is that which is created all things but through evolution. It's a form of materialism. And really, they're denying that Jesus is come in the flesh. They deny Jesus is God. They deny there's any God. Is this of Christ or the Antichrist? It's of the Antichrist. Yet we see today that in schools, the foundation of our educational system is materialism in the form of evolution and many other forms. Let's take a couple of religions. We've already talked about Islam. Islam doesn't teach that Jesus came as the Son of God. It doesn't teach that Jesus came as God in the flesh. It doesn't teach that Jesus came to take away the sins of the world. As a matter of fact, it doesn't show the truth of God's word at all. It is not, so is it of God? Is it of Christ or is it of the Antichrist? It's of the Antichrist. Look at Hinduism manifesting itself in our culture as the New Age movement, or what many people are bringing into the churches, yoga. Is this of Christ or is it of Antichrist? And this is what people need to ask. What does it teach? What does it teach about Jesus? Well, it teaches that you can find peace and you can find hope and you can find joy by looking within yourself, meditating, having spirit guides who aren't God telling you what to do. That's at the foundation of yoga. The New Age movement basically says that you are God and that you're the one that is needs to center yourself and look within yourself to find your meaning and purpose to life. Is this of Christ or of Antichrist? Because it doesn't teach the Jesus of the Bible. It doesn't talk about Jesus being the Son of God to come take away the sins of the world. Now, why are Christians embracing all of these false belief systems? This is something we need to ask. They're not reading First John chapter 4, that's for sure. They're not having discerning spirits. And what they've done is they've abandoned the truth of God and replaced it with the lies of Satan. And oftentimes they've done it saying, well, we're doing it because we love and want to be open-minded and embrace all people. Yet we see that Jesus came to embrace all people, that their sins could be taken away. And he went to the cross to take away the sins of the whole world, but they had to confess that he was Lord and that he did it, and embrace the gift of salvation and receive it, acknowledging their own sinfulness. The spirit of the Antichrist wants to exalt the works of men and exalt the position of man without God and without Christ. What happens when you do this? What is the marks of the spirit of the Antichrist on the culture? And what will be the mark of the spirit of the Antichrist on the world? while we're seeing it already in our nation, good becomes evil, evil becomes good. You have truth doesn't exist any longer. You can tell lies and just say, well, it's parody. It doesn't really matter that I told a lie. You can bear false witness and it doesn't really matter. You can actually go out and steal and kill and do all kinds of sort of evil and it doesn't really matter. You can murder babies and do it and say that it's good because I'm helping these ladies. You're not following God's word anyway, but you're being led by what spirit? The spirit of the Antichrist. How do we deal with this? Well, he tells us, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even already is it in the world. This was back 2,000 years ago that John wrote this. Already the spirit of the Antichrist was present. As I mentioned, we already know that there were false teachers coming with that spirit of deception to come and undermine the faith of Christians and to destroy the gospel. We see that that's the case today. And we see that it has been the case going all the way back to the first sons of Adam, where you had Cain and Abel, and manifesting itself in the two spirits. Where Abel loved the Lord, and the Spirit of God manifested himself in the life of Abel, where the spirit of the Antichrist manifested itself in the life of Cain. And Cain warred against Abel because Abel was righteous and Cain was evil. Nothing has changed in the world. It's just as Jesus said, as it grows towards the end of time, the spirit will manifest itself more and more. Now I want you to understand why this is happening. Satan's preparing because he believes that he can overthrow God. And he'll get all mankind to follow him. And there's coming the Antichrist. And we just got an article this last week. I might have mentioned it on Sunday afternoon. Gary Kaw sent out his latest letter. And he said many Christians that he's talked to, not many, but there's been Christians he's talked to that said, could our current president be the Antichrist? And the thing is, the Antichrist is going to have an Antichrist spirit. And there's many things about our current president. He's a sinner. If he hasn't accepted the Lord as a Savior, he does because he needs Jesus. But I've noticed a tremendous change in his attitudes and actions since he's in the last 3.5 years. One of the things you need to do is pray for him. One of the things that's amazing is he's the first president that's come out against abortion very strongly. He's cut out in favor of Israel like no president in our history. And there are those who manifest the spirit of the Antichrist in their actions, attitudes, and words that despise him because of this. And as you look at these things, you need to ask God to have a discerning spirit, basing it upon the truth of God's word and what do people say about Christ and who he is. Our president is the first president that's come out supporting persecuted Christians in the Middle East. He's the first one that has talked about the importance of religious freedom for Christians in America. At the same time, there are those who desire to silence the voices of all Christians in our country, where you can't even share the gospel. What spirit directs these thoughts? You need to ask. Is it of Christ or is it of Antichrist? We need to pray for our leaders and specifically pray for our president. But we also need to have discerning spirits. Why? Because it says in verse 4, ye are of God. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, I want you to understand what he's saying there. You're saying, well, how have we overcome? Because you look at the world, there's wickedness all over. Right now you can go to many of the countries in Africa where Islam has overrun some of these countries. Christians are being murdered. We talked on Sunday, I mentioned to pray for the martyred Christian family, those who have been martyred, the wives and children of men that have been martyred for their faith in Nigeria, in Sudan, in other countries in Africa. So how can John say this, that we've overcome the world? Because Christians are being martyred, they're being killed. But we are greater than Satan. We have the truth. And the truth sets men free. Satan enslaves men. The Antichrist, even though this may come telling lies, he can never set anybody free, because he leads them into deeper and deeper rebellion against God. And we have the truth. The truth may set us free. I remember a number of years ago, I was attending a Bible study, and we were studying the book of Revelation at the time. And in the book of Revelation, it's talking about, the fact that the church has been raptured and the wickedness that's in the earth. And the teacher of the Bible study was talking about, we're beginning to see the manifestations of that wickedness even already. And this was over 20 years ago. So it was a lot different then than it even is today. But after the study, we were talking, and he said, Glenn, do you think that we have a message that's stronger than the messages that the world has? Do you think that we can make any difference? It made me stop and think. Politically, maybe we'll not make a difference politically. You have Christians today that think that they're going to bring the kingdom of Christ on earth, that they're going to pass all these laws, they're going to change all the governments of the world. But that's not what John is talking about here. We have the truth, and the truth is what sets men free. The truth is what gives men hope, because we have hope that our sins are forgiven. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope in eternal life. We have hope that we can live and that we can manifest the gifts and the power of God's Spirit through our life. And we have the ability to share this message with others and see their lives transformed, where they become new creatures in Christ. And it's not done through politics. It's not done through physical battles. It's done through sharing the gospel and the power of God and His Spirit, convicting men of their sin and men coming to Christ and receiving the gift of salvation, which is found in the shed blood of Jesus Christ our Lord and His resurrection and victory over death. And it says here, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we need to remember that God is greater than Satan. He's greater than any Antichrist spirit. He's greater than any government or any political power. As a matter of fact, the scriptures tell us that God raises kings up and tears them down. The Bible tells us in Psalm 2 that the world sits around and plots against God, and God sits in the heaven laughing at them, because He has them in derision. He has them in great confusion. We studied a little bit on Sunday afternoon about the fact that a mark of a culture that's turned their back on God is the confusion of faces. And that they become confused. They don't know truth. They don't know good from evil, bad from good, up from down, and lies from truth. But we do. And greater is he that is in us than is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. Now, should you be surprised when you have people that their whole goal is to destroy that which God loves, that they would tell lies and they would be deceitful and they would try to undermine and destroy that which is good and beautiful. Shouldn't be surprised at all. And you shouldn't be surprised that people who are not Christians can be confused when they hear these people speak, because they're believing lies because they are of the spirit of the Antichrist if they don't have Christ dwelling in them. And people need to understand that, and they need to understand that it's the power of God that transforms lives, and it's the Spirit of God that convicts men. And men, if left to their own devices, will definitely follow the ways of the world instead of the ways of God. You know, I just stop and think, I just give you one example that's absolutely crazy. Would you say that Israel lives in a friendly neighborhood or a very bad neighborhood? A very bad neighborhood. All the nations around Israel want Israel gone. So Israel's got to elect governments, and they have people that say, well, I'm very, very much for Israel and for our safety, but I demand that I have to have it my way or no way, and I totally ignore the principles that have enabled Israel to become Israel, which is the promises of God. Instead, I'm going to do it my way, even if it means I have to destroy the whole government to do it, which means I'm opening up my nation to the possible attack of all these other countries because they see weakness instead of strength. And people say, how could that be? And how could these people have those attitudes when all they have to do is work together and be strong? Because the spirit of the Antichrist manifests itself in many ways, and one of the ways is through self-centeredness and greed, through arrogance and pride, and to the extent of being totally foolish and not realizing the full results of the decisions you're making. You can look at you don't have to go all the way across the sea to Israel. You can go to our streets around here. People say, if we just had more education, we could solve this drug problem, we could solve this problem, alcohol problem, we could solve all these problems if we just had more education. So we've got all these advertisements on TV that talk about opiates and how bad they are. And you're seeing all these advertisements. You're talking about, well, we need to have this drug that we give to families where they think that their kids are using opioids so that they can give it if they're having an overdose. The police need to have that drug so they give it if an overdose and stuff. And we know that these opioids are really, really bad, and they destroy people's lives, and it even ends up in premature death, a lot of young people dying from overdoses. We're educating, but does it solve the problem? I'll give you an example even closer to home. My own dad. My dad smoked from the time he was, a young man. And when he was 51 years of age, the Surgeon General came out with a deal and put on the cigarettes packages that said, the use of tobacco may result in lung cancer and premature death. My dad saw that warning, and he immediately went out and threw all his cigarettes away. And people say, you probably say, oh, wow, he was really educated. No, he was addicted to nicotine. He just quit smoking. He started chewing. And so he chewed tobacco instead of smoked tobacco. And so instead of getting cancer immediately to the lungs, he lost all of his teeth because of the tobacco and the disease that came from having tobacco juice in his mouth all the time. And he ended up dying of cancer anyway. Education isn't the solution. The power of God is the solution. And believing that God can deliver you from the wickedness of this world, because if you're not believing in God and His delivering power, you won't believe the message about because it's never going to happen to you. It's going to happen to somebody else. And that's what John is saying here. The world listens to the world. Those who believe in God need to be listening to God. And this is what's distressing today. Because across our country, we have got literally hundreds upon thousands of churches that at one time preached the gospel. At one time told people about the consequences of sin. At one time called upon the Spirit of God to work on the hearts of men that people could be saved. And yet today, many of these same churches don't want to preach that message. They want to preach a different Jesus. Then one has to ask and go back here and test the spirits. What spirit is it of? Christ or the Antichrist? And then one needs to ask, what's going on? That the spirit of the Antichrist isn't outside in the world anymore, but it's coming into the church. No wonder we're so ineffectual in our ability to reach people with the gospel message. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Two spirits. Truth, the spirit of Jesus Christ. Error, the spirit of the Antichrist. We've got a standard to test against. The truth. Is it true or isn't it? If it's not true, what spirit's it of? The Antichrist. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these truths. And Father, speak to us through your word. And Lord, help us to place your word in our heart. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.